every day since, it's just been, okay, God is good. Apparently, I'm more 18 than 50, so I don't know if that's actually true, but I'll just say it anyway. So I am thankful that I have great people to support and to help in case of need. Pastor Jason's one of those guys that has been so gracious to say, yeah, I'll preach just in case you're not feeling up for it. I probably could have preached today, but I'm still excited to have Pastor Jason share. And I'll just go through a few announcements real quick. Let me grab this real quick. I know that Nathan Gentry wanted to say a special thank you. I don't know if you want to stand up and do that, Nathan, or if you want me just to... Well, there is a thing on the bulletin board. Nathan, by the way, did an outstanding job preaching just the other week. And the first time I heard him speak, I said, that doesn't happen. That's not normal. And he didn't make me a liar. He preached a wonderful message, gave some great points for us all to not just hear us speaking, but to take it to our heart and our soul. So thank you for that. And because of the deal that we made in church on a Sunday morning, I said we would do a love offering, and you all did a wonderful blessing for him to help him with his college expenses. Thank you on behalf of the Gentry family for that. And if you want to read that personally, it's on the bulletin board as well. So we do have guest speaker next week because Tina and I will be on our wedding anniversary trip. Yeah. I know I already gave it away that I'm 50, but we got married when we were 20. This is our 30th. And so it just keeps going on with great blessing, and it's wonderful to have a trip that we can go see the rest of our kids and grandkids that we haven't seen for a little while. But we'll be doing that. Then we're going to do some off-roading in the Black Hills. Uh-huh. Yeah, 50-year-olds can get it down, man. We can go. So we're going to be doing some Baja stuff. We will not pet the buffalo, in case we go to the Custer, by the way. I used to work those things for helping out some of the ranchers that we had in our church. It's not a wise thing to pet a buffalo, or a bison if you want to be more accurate. So anyway, we'll be safe, mostly. And Kidsmen Ministry meeting, we have that in your bulletin. Sunday school staff meeting, make sure you're following those details. Kids Quest begins very soon. Sunday school begins after that. And I don't have room in here, but I do have plans for a Sunday evening study that will start the first week of October. And so that's the game plan right now. So anyway, do I need to announce anything else? Are we good? If I forget something, Pastor Jason will remember. Oh, yeah, because he's good at that. Yeah, no. I'm going to turn it over to Pastor Jason, and we do have kids church going on. So, Pastor Jennifer, if you'd like to take the kiddos, all of you are welcome to join Pastor Jennifer downstairs for the kids ministry service.
Okay. So, can you hear me okay? All right. You know, Pastor said, will you be willing to fill in because I'm going to get my wisdom teeth? And I thought, oh, four teeth. Oh, he's going to be miserable. On Friday, I meet him in the office, and he's just having a conversation. I'm like, he's going to be in church. Oh, no. And then I get here, and who else do I see besides Pastor Emma but Pastor Jamie. I'm like, oh, my goodness, the pressure's on. I'm worried already. But I'm wondering if, at the end of service, if we could play that first chorus song that we did at worship. It would absolutely fit perfectly. Can we do that? Okay. All right. So I have a little video to start. If we can play that video. I think we need some volume. We're doing the silent version. This is truly one of my favorite movies of all time.
Where am I?
The pit of despair. Down even thick.
That one works back there. You can hear it from there.
Where am I?
The pit of despair. Don't even think.
Don't even think about trying to escape. The chains are far too thick. And don't dream of being rescued either. The only way in is secret. Only the Prince, the Count, and I know how to get in and out.
Then I'm here till I die?
Till they kill you, yeah.
Till they kill you, at least. Okay. So today's sermon is kind of like, have we all felt that this way this last 6 months, kind of the pit of despair? You know, what I have really enjoyed about camps this summer is the fact that I get away from everything. You have no television, no telephone. Well, the phone's taken away. So you don't get any news. You know, being there, you get completely in the moment with God, right? You're there. Well, the Holy Spirit's been working on me actually for about the last 2 years. My daughter has been, believe it or not, very instrumental in helping me realize something. I'd be listening to the news and I'd start getting all anxious and angry and upset. Little comments like, "Dad, it's just news." Or, "Dad, why don't you just turn it off? Dad, why did you get so angry? Why did you get so upset?" Okay, so, you know, young 15-year-old mind doesn't quite grasp the concept of the global economy, the global world, and everything that's happened. If you read your Bible, you know, if you understand it a little bit, you kind of see, it's like, oh, so you get frustrated. So I started to actually evaluate why I was getting angry, getting upset, getting frustrated. And the Holy Spirit started to work on me regarding what I needed to do. So, when I am sent messages through Facebook, yes, those wonderful messages, they're typically political in nature or spiritual. Some of them had swearing in it, so I started asking the senders, don't send me that stuff. I don't need to hear it. I don't want to see it. I don't need it. Probably 95% of the things sent to me were political in nature, and the individuals who sent them, they were truly quite concerned. They were truly expressing a view that they truly felt. Okay, so I can get that. I can accept and I can understand. Okay, that's okay. That's good. But I started to think more along the lines of why? What's driving this? People wanted to make sure that I was understanding the state of our nation in the political arena enough so that they wanted to make either sure I was in the know about the political party was doing, saying what, about whom and where and all this stuff. And of course you can tell they're concerned, they're worried, they're anxious. So I'm going to ask a question. I don't want an answer. Please don't. This is not the place. But how many of you support our national leaders? I don't care which political party. That's irrelevant. That's why I say don't answer questions. Don't even, because I'm not talking about a political party or a politician over another. You have your political leanings, so do I. As a matter of fact, it's actually really against the law for a minister to advocate for a political person, because you can lose your 501c3. Okay, so if you hear about that, you know that that person is wrong. You see it on Facebook all the time. You see it on YouTube. You see it everywhere. Pastors are using the pulpit to promote social agendas or promote a political party, a political person. That is against the law. So at that point, you now have to decide, where are they as a person, a follower of Christ? So why do we feel the need to be so horrified or upset when politicians attack each other and call each other names? First of all, if they're doing that, they're really truly not Christ followers. Because the Bible demands that they be. Ephesians 4:29 through 32 says, "Let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for necessary edification, that it may impart grace to the hearers, and do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice." That basically means be ruthless in getting that stuff out of your vocabulary, your life. And be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. We're actually going to go deeper into this, so I'm just not staying, you know, up here. We're going to actually get into our personal lives in a little bit. But let's take a look at the word corrupt. The word corrupt is sapraz. Means of poor quality, bad, unfit for use, worthless. It's a pretty strong word. Do let no corrupt word. Let's go to look at the word clamor. It's krage. It means a crying, an outcry. Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, and I chose this specifically because this is what we see. People are making an outcry. They're making a clamor. They're saying, hey, the Word of God says that's not necessary. We need to address that in what we do in our life. Evil speaking is actually a phrase that we get blasphemed from. It's blasphema, speech injurious to another's good name. We hear our political leaders, I'm a Christian, I read the Bible, I can quote it, turn around the very next day and badmouth each other. And yet we as Christ followers repeat that stuff online. We repeat it to other individuals. Now, what does that make us look like? Why do so many Christians follow others so blindly when those individuals do not show the fruit of the Spirit? We justify another Christian's words and actions based solely on their word that they are a Christ follower. We must compare their actions and what they say with what the Bible says. Is the fruit of the Spirit. Yes, we must pray for our leaders. Yes, we must do what's right. Yes, we must follow the law. But supporting them unabashedly, unflinchingly, and without question is harmful to our most important mission, which is to tell others about Christ. And most importantly, model Christ-likeness. I'm not necessarily saying it's here in this church, but we see it out there. We see it online. Back in the 80s, by the way, this is a rabbit trail. Hang with me, I'm ADD moment here. Back in the 80s, the televangelists were the big thing. We didn't have internet. Okay, so everything was on VHS tape, beta tape, remember that one? Okay, so it was, we got stuff from the TV. And we noticed that the evangelists were going more and more off of what Christ was like, what Christ wanted us to live like. And they got caught doing bad stuff, huh? There's still some out there. But now we see it every day from our computers, from our smartphones, from our apps. We see this behavior modeled on a global scale. And it makes us anxious. Makes us worried. Makes us feel like, what is happening? And sometimes we model that to our families. We model that at work. We model that at the grocery store. We model it in our businesses. We model it at the post office. So although we do need to pray for our leaders, and we do need to support them in a way that does not defile who we are as an individual, as a Christ follower, I'm not going to use the word Christian because that's being thrown out all the time. I remember one political leader said she was a Christian and proceeded to badmouth everything and proceeded to say things that were not Christ-like. And I went, I've been working with the youth group for the last 6 months on this very same thing. Who are we? So this is nothing new that, you know, in the last however many days Pastor Kevin asked me to do this. This is something we've been working on at the youth group. Who are we? Who are you? Are you who you say you are? Are you who we say we should be? Are we who God says we are? So this is really still a journey for me too. 1 John 4:20 through 21 says, if someone says, I love God and hates his brother, he is a liar. For he who does not love his brother whom he has seen, how can he love God whom he has not seen? And this commandment we have from him, that he who loves God must also love his brother. There's no ifs. There's no, well, you know, they're kind of funny, or no, they're different, or they have a different political view. So, no, you must love other people. So how is it that we get to a place where we say that we love people, but then turn around and say something bad about them, or say something to them that hurts them? Now, to be honest with you, iron sharpens iron. So if you're a Christian and I'm a Christian and I have to talk to you about something, then okay, let's work through it as brothers and sisters in Christ to say, okay, let's find out what the solution is to this issue. That's okay. I have this little thought here. I think we forget our place as Christ followers. This is in the political arena, okay? Your vote counts during elections. But in the real world, your voice counts for and reflects on the kingdom of God every day of your life. So why are we putting politics and social issues ahead of what's most important? And this is my issue with some of the things that we see that the church is doing. Not just this church, talking about the church of God, the church overall. Say we're going to follow Christ. We say we have to have salvation. Say you have to have the baptism. Say you're going to do these things. And yet, we don't do them. They're in churches' mission statements. They're online. They're in their doctrines. But yet, we see that other things are taking place of what's most important. And that is reaching the lost. Reaching those who might not want to come to church because of. Proverbs 6, 16 through 19. There are six things that the Lord hates, seven that are detestable to him. Haughty eyes, okay, pride, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that devises wicked schemes, feet that are quick to rush into evil, and here's the two that really bother me. A false witness who pours out lies and a person who stirs up conflict in the community. The things we say and the things we do and the things we post and the things we do online, some of them are lies. I'll have an example of this. Some of them cause conflict in the community. Well, it's the truth. How do you know it's the truth? Did you know that, and I don't know, maybe you guys know this, but Japan, a company in Japan, has created an artificial intelligence kind of a programming where they could literally take my face, something I've said, wipe out the words, and completely redo it so that it makes a wholly different statement and it looks like I said it. That's been out there now for a few years. I think I saw something like this once. There was somebody had posted online a video of, I don't know if you guys know who Katy Perry is, the singer Katy Perry, that, well, it says in the title, Katy Perry sells her soul to the devil and the Illuminati for millions. So there's this video, and I started watching it. I'm like, okay, let's see what this has to be like. It's a grainy video, kind of blurry, can't really see what her lips are doing, matching the words that she's supposedly saying. And I went, really? This is a Christian guy espousing something bad about somebody else, and there's really no proof of evidence besides a grainy, blurry video that you can't really see the words matching up to what is being said. Oh, that bothered me. I think that was probably one of the first attempts at something like that. Could it be true? I don't know. I wasn't there in the interview room. But it sure doesn't look like it. So we as Christians have to be careful about what we see and what we repost. I'm going to drive this home. I told Pastor Kevin that I was probably going to step on some toes. So I'm going to step on some toes. How do we expect those who do not know or even care to know about Jesus and the salvation he brings to even think of wanting a relationship with the creator of the universe if we cannot even keep our tongues in our heads and silent? Proverbs talks a lot about it. I used to be a great storyteller. When I say stories, I mean not true stories, lies. I could tell them pretty good. But as I became more and more involved in Proverbs, you see, I started reading Proverbs because I grew up without a dad. And I noticed that in the book of Proverbs, there's a lot of things about my son, my son. So that became my favorite book of the Bible. And there was a lot of verses talking about how the tongue sets the forest on fire. The tongue is evil. I started thinking about that, thinking about myself. I went, oh. Again, before the internet, okay? Back in the old school days where you actually had to visit with somebody face to face, and if you told them a lie, you had to look the part. So Galatians 5:22 through 25 says, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law." We use this in wedding ceremonies all the time. "And those who are Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit." So we talk about all the things that love is: joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness. But then it says, if we have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. So now we're getting back to people are passionate about what they say, what they post, and what they mean. They're passionate, right? But then we also have to go back to 1 Corinthians chapter 13, where it says, if you do all this stuff, but you have love, no love, you're nothing but a clanging gong. You're nothing but a noisemaker. And who's going to want to come to church? Who's going to want to give their life to Christ if there's nothing to back up what you say but angry words, hurtful words? We especially, us, those who claim to be followers of Christ, must be using our words and actions to edify, lift up those around us. And this is where we're going to go. Okay? So it's not just a let's beat people down. We're going to get there. Okay? We're going to get there. Now, I am speaking personally here. I'm going to be personal. Okay? I have not been the very best at communicating my parenting style and leadership style across to others. At senior teen camp, here's an example. We had just gotten the news about the mask from the governor. So I had to tell our teens from Glendive, hey, this is what's going to happen. And to me, it was very important. I needed to get it done. Okay, so the Navy guy in me said, okay, I've got people under me. I've got to tell them. I've got to pass this information along. This is what we're going to do. Here's how it's going to work. But they're teenagers. They weren't really into, you know, the seriousness of the moment. They, you know, hey, church was over. We got to go. We got games to play, food to find, boys to look at, girls to look at. We got stuff to do. You're wasting our time here. So I got upset. And a couple of the girls got upset, and we had to have a little visit. And we sat down with a leader of the camp, and we said, okay, here's, the girl said, this is how you made me feel, and I felt, okay, I'm sorry. But then I got to say my piece, and my piece was, I'm trying to give you good information that's solid, that's important, and yes, I put my military dad head on. My military parent, this is the way it's got to go. And they understood. So we cleared the air. We apologized. Life was good for the rest of the week. So I don't do that very well. Just ask my children. Just ask my wife. Please don't. They might be too brutally honest. Sometimes my words and actions come across as anger, frustration. Sometimes I'm perceived as not liking someone because I made a decision that affected someone else or others in a negative way. And for that, honestly, I apologize. If I've done that to any of you, I'm sorry. I truly love and care for each one of you, and I'm working on becoming a better pastor, leader, parent, father, husband, and most importantly, a follower of Christ. So let's move on. Now we're going to take a look at prophecy. A few months ago, there was a video that had been circulating on Messenger. I got it like 7 times. Yeah. Pick number 2, my lord. Remember that one from Shrek? So, 7. I got it 7 times. Different people sharing me this video. It was a pastor who gave a prophecy about this coming fall. He starts out by telling us what he told his church board in January about something that was going to happen, that was going to shut everything down, and then that there were going to be riots. Okay, that was all fine and dandy. That was in the video, but that stuff had already been taking place. So, okay, I wasn't in the first board meeting. I wasn't there when he said it. So here I am looking at this from a distance of saying, okay, you're telling us this now, in video for the world to see, but it's already happened. I'm not discounting his prophetic word. I won't do that. But the Bible tells us, test all things. If I must follow God's litmus test, then I cannot completely accept what the pastor said until the second part of the prophecy comes true, which tells us about more rioting and social unrest around the time of the November elections. But there's more to the litmus test. So what this means is when somebody posts something or says something, you've got to look at God's word and say, this is the rule of how this is supposed to work. Okay? 1 Corinthians 14:3 states, but he who prophesies speaks edification, exhortation, and comfort to men. I'll be honest with you, I do not remember seeing that. It could be there, but I don't remember at the end of the video there being any comfort, any exhortation, no edification. Okay? Christianity Today had this in an article. If there was ever a group of people that should care about the truth, it should be the people who believe that truth sets you free. Integrity should matter for Christians, but too often it does not. Proverbs 28:18 explains, the one who lives with integrity will be helped, but one who distorts right and wrong will suddenly fall. So I want to encourage you, be watchful and vigilant, and be responsible. Clicking share or forward may not require much effort on your part, but it could have serious ramifications down the line. There were prophecies after the Sandy Hook massacre, the school shooting. People were clicking and sharing, and eventually it got into some people's heads. And they started threatening the teachers and the kids of the school again. So doing those kinds of things, although your group of friends might not have an issue, but your friends' friends and aunts and uncles and second cousins and third relatives way down the line, you don't know. The spread of misinformation is an issue that we all need to confront, no matter our political persuasion or age demographic. If the online sphere is our new battleground, then truthful information should be our weapon of choice. And we have the most truthful piece of information anywhere. Now, we don't have to be browbeating people on the head, be the old Bible thumper, but we can use God's word to help and to edify. Oh, you all right? Got a bump on the noggin, I suppose. Oh. On a more mundane level, posting and endorsing conspiracy theories makes Christians look like idiots. Oops, she heard me. I was looking for my daughter. My daughter loves conspiracy theories, and we actually have subscribed to the Conspiracy Channel. You know, because there has to be a little bit of element somewhere in there that's true, right? But the more you go further down the line, the further away you get from the truth, and the crazier things begin to sound. Okay, so I actually have from the Billings Gazette, 1943, I think it's April 3rd edition. It is a full-page ad. That's when the newspapers, you know, were like huge pages, right? It is, believe it or not, a conspiracy theory for December 7th, 1941. This wasn't even a year and a half later, and it's already a conspiracy theory, the bombing of Pearl Harbor. So there's, you gotta be careful about this stuff. When we post things and we don't pay attention to and background check and look at things from an honest truth perspective, it reinforces the public notion that Christians will fall for anything. and seriously put the object of our faith into question. I look at that and I think about our political thoughts. Oftentimes, when a political leader says something, if it's a policy, okay, that's great. Let's look at the policy. But when it's a personal issue, I got to back off. Say, I don't know if I can support that because that violates God's law. That violates what Jesus commanded. Do not commit raca. R-A-C-A, that word means don't call anybody a fool or an idiot. So we have to be careful. In the first letter of the church of Thessalonica, Paul wrote, this is 1 Thessalonians 5:19 through 22, and from the Message, don't be gullible. Check out everything and keep only what's good. Throw out anything tainted by evil. So if you don't have time or patience to fact check an article or a video, don't share it. Because you're just bearing false witness now. Now you're on the end of the gossip line. And don't be a gossip, right? So we have to be careful about this. 1 Thessalonians 5:19 through 20 says, do not quench the spirit. Do not despise prophecies. Don't despise them. Test all things. Hold fast to what is good. Abstain from every form of evil. 1 John 4:1, beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits. Because you know there's good and bad spirits, right? Whether they are of God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. So, why do we worry about the future? Why do we fret what goes on in the political world? Why do we follow with such great interest the anger, the hatred, the lies of the politicians and the media? Now, when we're talking media, we're talking the TV channels, right? Because we all know, we've heard for the last how many years, fake news, right? It's almost a common term now. Well, that can't be true. They're espousing their own ideology. Well, yeah. Is it wrong? Yeah. How many of you remember the good old guy, Walter Cronkite? That's the news, and that's the way it is on this day. There was no political nothing. It was just the facts. Let you decide. We have to be careful with that. Did I just date myself, Barry? Yes, I did. She's giggling at me now. I remember that. I like Walter Cronkite. God's word has already told us what's going to happen. It's going to get ugly, right? It's going to get ugly. I never thought in 2020 would be as bad as it is 30 years ago. I never would have thought it. But here we are, and it's going to get worse. And I tell my kids, I said, like, I feel bad for you. I really do. But you've got to hang on to God's word. This is the truth. And yes, you're going to get persecuted. You might get beat up. You might get churches burned down around you. You might have bad things happen to you because you're a Christian. But this is the truth. God's word has already told us what's going to happen. And yet, we act surprised. People send me those texts. They send me those messages. Oh, look what's happening. I once told some guy, I said, you know, I love you. I should have had my phone here because I still have the message. I love you, but don't send me this nonsense. We already know what happens. We already know who's going to win. I don't care. I literally said, I don't care. He hasn't sent me anything since. As a matter of fact, I saw him in Baker yesterday, and I waved at him, and he went. So I don't know if he's still mad at me or not, but you know, like I said, sometimes I just say things that, you know, aren't necessarily right politically correct. 2 Timothy 3:1-5. But know this, that in the last days perilous times will come. For men will be lovers of themselves, sounds like today, Lovers of money, sounds like today. Boasters, sounds like today. Proud today. Blasphemers today. Disobedient to parents, not my kids. Unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers, without self-control, brutal, despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying its power. I'm a Christian, but then they don't act like it. That's what that means. And from such people, turn away. Why do we give them the time of day? They're not who they say they are. We have the answers. We have it all right here. This is who we need to be turning to. And I'd like to encourage each and every one of you that as you go out in this world, I mean, the most recent local issue, Dawson discussion, what happened? Yeah, people are shaking their heads. It got shut down. Why? Because of all of this. And some of them were Christians. Some of them are people that we know in this town. Okay? So now there's Dawson discussion 2.0. Let's retry this again, the person said. In a very loving, kind way. Let's try this again. This is what we expect. So the thing is even locally we're doing it to each other. Even locally we're letting people see us not as Christians but as humans. And yes, that's a good thing, but most importantly, we're Christ followers. So guess what? We're not really entirely human, are we? We need to act better than what we've been doing. Did I already go through 1 Corinthians 13, 1 through 3? Did I ever mention that? It's not up on the thing, Brian, so don't worry about that. But while we were worshiping, it came to my head. So I wrote it down. I already mentioned it. Though I speak with the tongue of men and of angels, but have not love, I have become a sounding brass or a clanging cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, that sounds a little boastful, doesn't it? Paul's kind of frightened there. And though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains, but I have not love, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, but have not love, it profits me nothing. Philippians 4, 5 through 7. This is the last verse here. It says this. Let your gentleness be known to all men. The Lord is at hand. There is our mission. The Lord is at hand. We need to be telling people, be anxious for nothing. Don't let what happens in the world and on the news get to you. Just water off a duck's back because you know it's going to happen, right? You know it's going to happen. It's going to be there every single day. On the hour, at the top of the hour. You guys know that? They changed that? This is another ADD side moment. When I was in radio, when I got my FCC license, you had to, at the top of the hour, at the exact second, announce the radio station's call sign. And then you could start the news. Now I find the news at like 9:45, 15 after, 20 after. I'm like, it just throws me. Top of the hour, I'm expecting. It's like, nope. All right. Anyway. Sorry for that. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplications with thanksgiving. Let your requests be made known to God, and the peace that surpasses all understanding will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. See, there's peace in this anxious time of all this nonsense going on. I asked the teens last week, I said, list all the things that have happened in the last 6 months. And they gave me quite the list. Austin even threw in murder hornets. I was so proud of him. And I was like, yes, somebody remembered murder hornets. Coin shortages, everything. I have never in 6 months of my life seen so much chaos. And we all know the reason why. But, you know, again, that goes into the conspiracy theories. There's an element of truth there. But we have to be different. As Christ followers, we have to be different. We have to be different in our speech and the way we act and the way we talk and the way we say things. I tell my kids, texting, and I tell the teens, texting is the worst form of communication out there. Don't do it. Call somebody. Because texting gets misunderstood all the time. So we need to be better at what we do because we are followers of the one true God. So I would like to go ahead and have, if we can come on up here and play that song. I liked one of the words in there. Unveil why we were made. Renew in us that spirit of who we are. We are better than what this world has become. And we need to start acting that. And so if you'd like to go ahead and stand or just sit, that's up to you. But I'd like that song sung. And let's really worship God as for who he is and who we are in him.
Come set your rule and reign in our hearts again. Increase in us, we pray. Unveil why we're made. Come set our hearts ablaze with hope, like wildfire in our very souls. Holy Spirit, come invade us now. We are your church. Need your power in us. We seek your kingdom first. We hunger and we thirst. Refuse to waste our lives, for you're our joy and prize. To see the captive's hearts released, the hurt, the sick, the poor at peace. We lay down our lives for heaven's cause. We are your church. We pray, revive this earth. Build your kingdom here. Let the darkness fear. Show your mighty hand. Heal our streets and land. Set your church on fire. Win this nation back. Change the atmosphere. Build your kingdom here, we pray. Unleash your kingdom's power. Reaching near and far. Force of hell can stop your beauty changing hearts. You made us for much more than this. Awake the kingdom seed in us. Fill us with the strength and love of Christ. We are your church. We are the hope. Build your kingdom here, let the darkness fear. Show your mighty hand, heal our streets and land. Set your church on fire, win this nation back. Change the atmosphere, build your kingdom here. Build your kingdom here. Let the darkness fear. Show your mighty hand. Heal our streets and land. Set your church on fire. Win this nation back. Change the atmosphere. Build your kingdom here, we pray.
Amen.
Amen.
That's a great way to end the service today. Build your kingdom here, Lord. It starts not in this building. It doesn't start with all of us together as a family. It starts right here in my own heart. Build your kingdom here, Lord, I pray. And then as we do that as individuals, then we do that as a family, and then we do that as a community, and then we do that as a state, and then we do that as a nation and a world. See how that works. Hallelujah. Somebody once had a disagreement with me on something. It was a pretty big deal. And I ultimately just said, we're going to have to agree to disagree. What I'm going to ask you to do is simply don't state what you believe with our church family because I feel it's destructive. And the answer was, well, how can I not say what I believe? Unfortunately, I'd love to tell you, I would love to tell you that everything went smooth from there. Everything was wonderful. Everything worked out. It didn't. It went downhill from there. Long story short, discipline actions took place from the church level to the state level to the general council level. You see, this was another minister of the gospel, a licensed preacher. And it broke my heart because it didn't have to do that. And I believe that that encouragement is what we need to end with because you're going to have very strong feelings about what you believe. Right or wrong. And sometimes it's better that you just keep it to yourself. That's hard. How can I not say what I believe? Is it damaging to your neighbor? Be silent. Is it damaging to the community of Christ, God's church, his family? Be silent. Is it damaging to the one you're witnessing to? They need to see the love of Christ in you, not your judgment. Be silent. It's hard. Amen. It's hard. Because we have the right to share our opinions. And we do. But what cost? At what cost? I want to just encourage you, let's not become divided on right and wrong. Let's become united on the goal of loving our neighbor who is just like us. What? Oh, you did say that. So thank you, Pastor Jason, for bringing us that word. And let's pray and ask God's blessing as we go forward, shall we? Lord God, thank you for the encouragement and the challenge. Just being right is not licensed to beat people up with our truth and our rightness. We need to respond as you did. You could have been so harsh at times, and yet you were so loving, so patient, so forgiving. Yes, there were times when the religious leaders, they just needed a good old-fashioned spanking, and you gave it to them, Lord. Sometimes that's what we need from you as well. May we understand and know how to love one another and how to live in this world that is full of such diverse people, that we will show our love for them and your love for them, and that we will see the greater good. Not to win a battle of who's right and who's wrong, but win the battle of the lost who need Christ. May we be an example of your grace in this world of which we live, and we thank you for the challenge. We need your help. Go with us as we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 God bless you. Have a great week.